Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we just heard a reading from the letter of James, and therein we have a somewhat peculiar statement which says, "Be very happy when you are tested in different ways." That sounds odd and not very nice, does it? We should be happy and have joy over being tested. In some ways, we are being told here that Christians should be some sort of masochists who delight in pain and adversity. Why should we rejoice over struggles when we are tested and struck by temptation? Perhaps we could answer it this way. When we are aware of being tested, then at least we know that we are still spiritually alive. When temptations come our way, and when we are aware of them as being temptations, then we know that our conscience is still ticking. We still have a sense of what is right and what is wrong, and our faith is alive and is wrestling with an issue. And thank God for that. And so we rejoice, even though we undergo afflictions, that we are alive as Christians. I am not dead. When temptations come, then we rejoice even more, since the Lord God is on our side and fighting for us against the evil foe and temptations, as the hymn has just now told us. Now, Scripture says that Christians will always be tested, but each person in different ways. Martin Luther says it this way: we must all experience attack, though not the same degree. Some have more frequent and severe attacks than others. Young people, for example, are chiefly tempted by the flesh. Adults and older people are tempted by the world, by material things. Accordingly, we Christians must be armed and expect every day to be under continuous attack. If we are continuously under attack by temptation, then there is also the possibility, dear friends, in fact the reality, that we will succumb to them. For there are two kinds of temptations that we are talking about. There are those temptations we cave into and which lead us onto the path of destruction, that divide us from our family, from our friends, and from God Himself. And these temptations are truly happening to us every day. And for that reason, we are called to repent daily and ask God for forgiveness and that He may graciously give it to us. But then there are also those temptations about which James is talking here, which we may consider tests or attacks on our life. To experience attacks does not mean that we always have to say yes to them. We struggle, we fight, and we endure them by resisting and fending them off. These are the kind of temptations we have heard about in our reading today, and they mold us, they educate us, they make us stronger in faith, and as we guard ourselves against them, we persevere and remain steadfast. Yes, steadfastness or perseverance here is the point. We must preserve all our life until the final day when the Lord comes. And as soon as we have left one temptation behind, the next one comes again on its way. Life is thus a continuous struggle, a quest not to succumb to them. We engage in a battle and we try to fend them off. In fact, the idea here is that God Himself allows temptation to occur because through them our faith in Him will be strengthened. Without wanting to make God the cause of evil and temptation, we can, however, say that He puts us to the test because He intends us to be hardened and to mold ourselves in the resolve to overcome them. Indeed, God allows temptations to attack us so that we may take time to work on love and on our trust and our obedience in Him. But how exactly do we persevere? We need two important ingredients in our life that we need to ask God for: wisdom and for humbleness. Wisdom is not a form of philosophical speculation about this or that grand idea which the Greeks used to do. The wisdom here is simply a practical knowledge of knowing what it means to lead a God-pleasing life, and that it can only be done if we depend and rely on God for protection. Therefore, a wise Christian who is under attack does one very important thing. He knows that he is not able to resist on his own strength and inner abilities, and so he turns to God, who will give him the sanctification through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of Jesus Christ, and through the sacraments. A wise Christian therefore knows that he cannot help himself. He does not have the resources to fight on his own, but he needs to receive them from God the Father. In contrast here then stands the foolish man, who thinks quite different. He cannot entrust himself entirely to God because he thinks that he too has to play an important role. And so he juggles between two opinions. On the one hand, he will think that he has the inner strength and resolve to actually withstand temptation on his own, without God. On the other hand, he might not want to dismiss God entirely out of his life, and so he leaves God just a little room and gives him a small part to play in his spiritual life. James calls this flip-flopping, of thinking about two different things at the same time, in fact, of being a skeptic about God himself. A wise man does not flip-flop. He renders all he has to God and entrusts himself into his protective hands. A wise person knows that in life things will not go smooth and well all the time, but he is able to identify these very obstacles. And for that very reason, he is able to turn to God and ask for forgiveness. He will know that his life will endure if he goes to church, if he hears God's word, and that he is strengthened therein by the forgiveness of God. And the second ingredient that a Christian needs is humbleness. Anyone who approaches somebody else with a request puts himself in a very vulnerable position. When you ask for someone, then you are dependent on the other person's request and that his decision will be made. For this reason, James uses here the example and illustration of a very rich man. For a rich man never has to lower himself, adopt a humble attitude, because he already has all that he needs. A Christian, however, has nothing to bring forward towards his own spiritual protection and against temptation. When it comes to defending ourselves, we are beggars, and as beggars, we always need to humble ourselves before God and ask Him that He may instill faith and wisdom and perseverance in us. And what kind of a prayer should we pray? We know it all. We pray it every morning and every evening. And I ask you that you would also protect me today from sin and all evil, so that my life and actions may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body, my soul, and all that is mine. Let your holy angel be with me, so that the wicked foe may have no power over me. In Jesus' name, amen.